All right, in 1 Kings 8, I want to do some reading in the text here and some reading in my book. So in 1 Kings 8 and verse 56, all right, Judd, you want to read that? Now, just note that. Note that. This is coming from Solomon. That's what he's saying. And he says, there not fail one word of all his good promises, which he promised. And he goes back to Moses, because Moses was the lawgiver. So, I wanted to mention that. And, all right, then, in 1 Kings 9, kind of summarize some things, like at the close of 1 Kings 8, on the eighth day he sent the people away, and they blessed the king and went under their tents joyful and glad of heart for all the goodness that Jehovah had showed unto David his servant and to Israel his people. So it's interesting that it mentions that the goodness he had shown to David his servant. So in 1 Kings 9, Solomon finishes building the house of Jehovah and the king's house, all Solomon's desire, which he pleased to do. Now in verse 2, how about reading that, Ross? Now the first time was 1 Kings 3:5. So there's more than one verse that mentions that God appeared to Solomon twice. In fact, when it is talking about what Solomon owed God, the point is that God appeared to him twice. How many other men has God appeared to like that on a special occasion? So he appeared to Solomon the second time as he appeared to him at Gibeon. And Gibeon was where the altar was and all that stuff. So, and read in verse 4 as well, Ross. Now, do you all remember the point that I made about what Solomon owed God? You go back, what did David owe God? David paid what he owed God. He served the Lord. Now, what is God telling Solomon? What is he going to have to do? Huh? He's going to have to be faithful like David was. If he is faithful like David was, then what will God do to his lineage? You see that? God will establish his lineage. But if he does not, then what will God do? He will bring it to an end. He will not establish his lineage. So in every case, and when we get into the divided kingdom, we see Rehoboam. And Rehoboam had the chance to serve God and to be pleasing God. And God said, if you will do this, then I will bless you, and made all kinds of promises to him. But what happened to Rehoboam? He did not serve God. So each one had the opportunity to serve God, and they did not do it. So, all right, so where did we get to? Where did you read to? Yeah, all right. So read a little bit more beginning in verse 6. Now, when you look in the prophets, That's exactly what they did. That's exactly what happened to Israel. They failed to serve God, and what God is warning through Solomon, or what God is saying here, is going to happen. And they shall say, and it doesn't say who, people shall say, why hath Jehovah done thus unto this land and unto this house? And why will they say? Because they forsook God. That's the reason why. Now, as we read these things, what's going to depend upon our being blessed? What is our being blessed going to depend upon? Whether we're faithful to God. That's exactly right. So, because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought forth their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods and worshipped them and served them, therefore Jehovah hath brought all this evil upon them. Now in verse 10, let's read in verse 10. Steve, you want to read in verse 10? Read verse 10 through 14. Cobble. That means good for nothing. So Hiram named those cities good for nothing. And there is evidence that he didn't even receive those cities. They didn't want them. They were worthless to him. So he named them worthless. I've heard of people that I knew, they named him worthless. So, worthless. So, 20 years... 7 years and 7 years and what was 13 years? I think 13 years. Wouldn't that add up? In other words, then King Solomon gave Hiram 20 cities in the land of Galilee, in the upper country, in the land of Galilee. And in verse 14, Hiram gave to the, or sent to the king, how much? Have you checked out how much that is worth? No. It's more than a couple of bucks. So Hiram felt like he had done a lot for Solomon, and he didn't feel like he was getting much of a deal. He didn't feel like he was getting much of a deal at all. So he sent to the king 120 talents of gold, an immense amount of gold. So, all right. Thank you. Good. Thank you. How much? Wow. Isn't that something? And I don't know whether that's in today's. I don't know how much difference that is between today and yesterday and all that stuff. But in verse 15, this is the reason for the levy. And levy means the men subject to task work. That's really what that word means, the subject for men subject to task work. So he had them to build his own house and Millo, the wall of Jerusalem, and Hazor, and Megiddo, and Gezer, and Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, had gone up and taken Gezer and burnt it with fire and slain the Canaanites that dwelt therein, and then he gave it to his daughter. He probably gave it to her because he could see what was going to happen. He could see that Solomon was going to make a go of it. So he gave it to her and said, here, have this as a wedding present. He probably conquered Gezer to have it for himself. But in it, as he saw what Solomon was doing, likely he said that I'm going to give this to you, to my daughter, her wedding, her dowry. So that's what I'm going to do. And I remember in Megiddo, that was one of the places where we went. Megiddo is a great fortress there in the land. And it was in a mound, a big mound there. And you went down into the mound. And I remember that there were like 80 steps or something like that. 80 steps. So you're going this way, this way, this way. So I did that, and then I came back up out of it. My legs were not the same for the rest of that trip. Man, I was in misery and pain. And that was that city, Megiddo, a fortress city. And so he built all kinds of towns and Baalath and Tamar and let's see in verse 20 through 22. All right, let's see who you want to read that. 20 through 22. Now, it's interesting in verse 22. But of the children of Israel did Solomon make no bondservants. But what does it go ahead and say there in verse 22, Judd?
But Solomon did not make slaves of the sons of Israel, for they were men of war, his servants, his princes, his captains, his chariot commanders, and enforcement. These were the chief officers who were over Solomon's work, 550, who ruled over the people during the work.
So he used them, didn't he? He used the people. So they were not his slaves, but they were his servants that bear rule over the people. And in verse 24, let's read that one. All right, Steve, the other Steve. Can you read that? Yeah, which verse are you on now? Yeah, 24. Yeah, right. So you see, so he finished the house. Okay. But let's go back. Look at that in verse 25, Steve. Now these were called the pilgrim sacrifices, where all the adult men were supposed to travel and go to that place. So that was the three. That would be the three. And so look in verse 26. Let's 26 through 28. All right. Andy, can you read that? No? Okay. All right. So who can do that for me? All right. All right. Now, mention the places there. Mention the place names.
The Zion Geber.
All right. This is Ezion Geber No. This is Ezion Geber down here. Ezion Geber. And as long as we're at this, Ophir would be probably over here in Africa. And that name is Sheba, and probably that is Sheba and Ophir. And so the queen of Sheba would have been from that general area right over there. Now, another place where he had a navy out here basically in the Red Sea, in the Indian Ocean. But he also had one up here in the Mediterranean. And every 3 years, they would sail all the way. So from here, they would sail all the way from Canaan over here to Tarshish. And there's a little question about exactly where that Tarshish was. Where was it? We don't exactly know for sure. But they'd go in 3 years, they'd make the journey and go back. And then out here, they would go in the Indian Ocean. And they would, 3 years, it'd take that long to make that trip. So, very interesting to me. All right. So, let me make sure. All right. By the way, we have some pamphlets here that I think you might be interested in. I don't think we can just say, here, want it. But if you want to read it and look it over, and then if you do want one, you do find it interesting, we could get some more. So I'm going to pass some of those out for you to look it over. If there it's a very good thing here. So yeah, and some more there. So pass some of those out, and if you like it, we can get another one and get a few more. It is a very good. It is a very good thing, and it would be very informative. So in verse 27, Hiram sent in the navy his servants, shipmen that had knowledge of the sea, with the servants of Solomon. So they cooperated, and they came to Ophir and fetched from thence gold, 420 talents. Anyone like to calculate how much that is? Yeah. Wow. Isn't that something? And they brought it to King Solomon. Now, meanwhile, when the queen of Sheba heard. Now, Sheba is over there. You can barely see it. There's Sheba. So, there's a little question about exactly where this is. I think it is here in southern Arabia. But that close, you see how close it is to Africa there? You have only the Red Sea to go across. So sometimes it's a little difficult to know exactly what is the one being referred to. So I think that is a very interesting thing. So the Queen of Sheba, from over there where we pointed out, heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of Jehovah, and she came. Why did she come in verse 1? Because God, why did she come?
Now when the queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to
test him with difficult questions. And what else did she come with, Scott? All right. Now, there's a point made that it was the greatest amount of spices that had been delivered. Right? So it's the greatest amount of spices that had been delivered. And so in verse, yeah, very much gold, precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her most of her questions. What did he? All of them. And I doubt if she had easy questions. That was the point. I'm going to test him. I'm going to find out if he is as qualified as I have heard. So Solomon told her all her questions. Not one thing hid from the king, which he told her not. Now in verse 4, what does he say? For verse 4. Man, I've had it. It's all true. It's all true. In fact, she said what? The half has not been told. And when she talked about this, and she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine land of thine acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believe not the words until I came, and mine eyes have seen it, and behold, the half was not told to me. Now in verse 8, read that one. Want to read that, Donald?
Happy are thy men, and happy are thy servants, who stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom.
Wow. Now, she was convinced of that. But I don't think that was her story. I think by now, they were on the ragged edge. By now, they were on the ragged edge of survival. And they were beginning to object. So, happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants that stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom. I'm just imagining some, let us have some more wisdom. In other words, I don't think they were by now as pleased as they would have been at first. So, blessed be the Lord thy God who delighteth in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel. And look at what else he says, because The Lord loved Israel forever, therefore he made thee king to do justice and righteousness. And in verse 10, what did she give him? 120 talents of gold. And spices, very great store. And what does it say? Precious stones, how much? There came no more such abundance of spices as those the Queen of Sheba gave Solomon. See that? Isn't that something? Never again. And then in verse 11, the navy also of Hiram that brought gold from Ophir, brought in from Ophir, plenty of, probably that means sandalwood trees and precious stones. And so the king just, it was amazing, the songs that would, the nave and the songs that would be sung, the psalteries for the singers. And it says there were no such sandalwood trees, nor were seen unto this day. So it's a remarkable thing. What picture do you get of Solomon's reign here? What picture do you get of Solomon's? What impression do you get of Solomon's reign here? Oh, good word, opulence, for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the cracks were already there. Really? Really? Well, that's right, though. So, look at, as we continue, just noting this, in verse 14, Steve, Parker, can you read a little bit more?
A weight of gold came in Solomon, and 1 year was
that something? Again, the opulence of the, of his throne. But so it's, I just hate it that Solomon wound up being so foolish. Instead of governing for the good of his people, he governed to take advantage of them as much as he could. That's just an awful thing. And in verse 21, what was his drinking vessels? And the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were pure gold. Now, you know, you might not have picked this up, but I picked this up from somewhere. Very reliable source. Do you know what is going to happen to you if you eat something on a plate of gold? You know what's going to happen to that food? It will grow cold before you can turn around. You're not going to eat a hot meal and very long. That gold will, it'll just make it so cold you can't eat it. It won't freeze it, but you will not you can't eat a hot meal on a gold plate. That's the base. So aren't you glad we don't have gold plates? Isn't that something? I read that from C.S. Forrester, Hornblower, and all that stuff. Anyway, yes. Silver. Yeah, it's just a pebble. Isn't that something? All right, that's not all, though. In verse 27, Steve, read a little bit more, verse 27 through the end of that chapter. I'm turning now to a passage, Deuteronomy, chapter 17. Deuteronomy, chapter 17. So let's go to verse 18. All right. Did Solomon do that? No. Look back up in verse 14. Verses 14, read that, 14 through 17.
When you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, and you possess it and live in it, and you say, I will set a king over me like all the nations who are around me, you shall surely set a king over you whom the Lord your God chooses, one from among your countrymen. You shall set his king over yourself. You may not put a foreigner over.
All right, now, as you read, notice carefully in verse 16.
Moreover, he shall not multiply horses for himself, nor shall he cause the people to return to Egypt to multiply horses. Since the Lord has said to you, you shall never again return that way.
See, the Lord says, you shall never again return that way. He meant it. All right, verse 17. That's interesting. God did not say not have much silver and gold. He said, not greatly multiply. He knew he would be richer than the common man. We would be richer, but not greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. So that was the idea. So here, this is in Moses' words, all the way back here. Moses said, don't do that. Don't do that. All right? Now, in a way, we're getting to the saddest point. All right, so in chapter 11, now King Solomon loved. I'd like to measure exactly what that involved. I don't think he loved them. I don't think he knew what love was. He didn't know. Solomon loved many foreign women together with the daughter of Pharaoh. And notice who all this names here. Who does it name here? Ross? All right. Together with the daughter of Pharaoh, the women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, the Sidonians, the Hittites, of the nations concerning which Jehovah said what? You shall not go among them. You shall not have them. You shall not do that. You shall not go among them, neither shall they come among you. For surely they will turn away your heart from after their gods. But what did Solomon do? Clave unto them in love. In verse 3, what did he do? He had what? 700 wives. And what about concubines? Now, how many concubines did he need? Because he had 700 wives. What Solomon is showing is that he, you know what he didn't have? Wisdom. Why did he not have wisdom? He asked God for wisdom. And the point is that the Bible makes the point he gave them the very things he needed. But then back in Deuteronomy, he says he didn't pay attention. And when we read about Solomon's sons, we will find that they were married to foreigners. They were married to foreigners. And they paid for it. Their mothers, exactly. They were foreigners. Oh yes. And make that point. When Solomon married, what did it amount to? Treaties with other countries. Many treaties. Look at all the women that he married. Each one of those would have been a treaty with some foreign power. Look in verse 5. All right, Steve, you want to read that in verse 5? Yeah. Now, when it says he built a high place unto Chemosh for the abomination of Moab, and then for Molech, what do we remember about Molech? Yeah. And Can you picture that?
And the arms were dropped, got fouled, the sun disappeared in the fire.
Terrible. So verse 9. This is the second time this point has been made, that God appeared to Solomon twice. Twice. He was angry with Solomon, who had appeared unto him twice. Don't go after other gods. But he kept not that which Jehovah commanded. So, since you have not kept my covenant, my statutes, and you know what all of us need to understand? That what we have with God is a relationship. That is a relationship. And we have a relationship with God. And we must honor that relationship. Absolutely. We must honor that relationship. So he says, I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. So Rehoboam is going to take over, but he will not be established. He will not be established. So the thing is, he is not going to take it away from Solomon. Why? Because Solomon? Exactly. The promise to David. This means that God really respected David, had a lot of appreciation for him. So I think that's really remarkable. So notwithstanding in thy days I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. That would be Rehoboam. I will give one tribe for David my servant's sake, for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. So he made the choice of Jerusalem. Now he's going to maintain that choice. But so God is going to raise enemies. We need to realize that when we don't serve God, what is he going to do? He's going to create obstacles. Did everybody get that? Foolish things that we can do can have consequences that will last for generations. Sometimes you want to say how many generations, there may be no foreseeable limit. So what we need to do is to be faithful to God. Really be faithful to Him. But what? No, don't any but what? You be faithful to God. All of us, I encourage us all, be faithful unto God. All right, well, we'll stop at this point, and we're almost through. We're now looking at the enemies that God is going to raise for Solomon, and we're almost ready for the divided kingdom. All right.